everybody, and welcome back to Don't Quit Your Day Job. My name is Paul. I am your host as per the usual. Today, I have from Northern California, the Santa Cruz area, if I am not mistaken, John Cadavera without an H. We just went through this as we were getting ready for the interview. So it's way more efficient for me to say John without the H, right, John?
Yeah. It takes less brain power, too. You know, you're not thinking about, like, hey, why would you have an H?
Thanks for coming on the show. Your band is Time Spent Driving. I want to start with 1999, 2000 is so long ago now. Like, does it hit you guys as you get back together and you release an album in 2023? 20 years is such a long time that, but it often doesn't feel like it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy long time ago. A lot has happened since then. I've been busy. I've been doing all kinds of stuff. But it's never really left me at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel really that different when it comes to creating music and playing what I want to play. So yeah, a lot of time has passed by and it's kind of crazy, but, you know, I kind of feel more compelled and fired up than ever to be creating. So
do you view the songs that you wrote in each of the sort of iterations of the band, do you view them as moments in time? Are they reflective of your headspace or your writing style or what the band was at the time?
Yeah, no, it's huge. The timing is huge. The timing is kind of what it's all about. So, you know, anything I'm writing is going to be usually very related to what's going on at the moment I'm writing it. Mm-hmm. More lately, I've been conceptualizing some things a little bit more. And, you know, but they still kind of relate, you know, they still mm-hmm. kind of relate, even though if you're kind of like pushing to something else, they still kind of relate to what's going on, you know, in your mind or whatever, to kind of, I don't know, for me, it has to mean something, you know, mm-hmm. it has to relate to something. So anyways, yeah, you know, back then I was younger. there was a lot of different relationships. There was some kind of toxic ones. You know, I was going through kind of being a young father, just kind of, you're figuring, you know, when you're in your kind of early 20s, you're kind of figuring it out. I think everyone knows that, but figuring it out, and you're kind of just, you know, passing through a bunch of different things. So there was a lot more about kind of relationships and, you know, girl stuff and everything like that back then. And, you know, sometimes I always wondered, like, hey, should I have less about this stuff? But that's kind of like what's hitting you at the time.
Right.
But a lot of other bands that, you know, maybe playing similar stuff, whatever, that's not really what was in their topic so much. So sometimes I'm like, do we sound a little too wimpy? Like, just always about this kind of stuff. And, you know, again, that's not all of us. But so I kind of like that. I think that was a good thing, actually. I think that resonated with a lot of people at the mm-hmm. time. But we kind of moved past that. It's kind of like Green Day. Like, I was really into them, like, when I was in high school. Like, before, you know, before the whole Dookie and everything like that. And, you know, they all their songs were about girls.
Right.
Every single one, you know. And, like, I really, really liked them then. But I was also, like, you know, whatever, 16, 17. And so it really related. And as they've gotten older, they're singing about all kinds of different stuff now, right. Political stuff. You know, and it's just not, whatever they're doing isn't really resonating with me like it was back then. So it's kind of the same thing. So, you know, it may be kind of alienating to some people, but there's always kind of a darkness to things. And I think that carries through, you know, from there till now. But it's nice to have, I think, more breadth to pull from. But I'm trying not to get into a rut with the same things, if that makes sense. So, yeah, you know, all different times, definitely different kind of lyrical contents, different things that matter to you, different things that are interesting to you. Like, I wasn't as obsessed with death back then. I was more like, I'm going to live forever. Now, like, I'm going to die. Today, I feel like dying, but maybe tomorrow I want to live for a long time. I don't know. What I want to do here. More confused.
That segues nicely into the emo angle, right? So it's easy to say that you're an emo band, or easier to say that you're an emo band when you're in your 20s. And I think it's harder to say that you're still an emo band when you're in your 40s, perhaps. Even though you know, you're still writing the songs, you're still writing the lyrics. Does the emo tag hurt or help at some point when you think about your career?
Yeah, you know, I talked about this with someone else the other day, but the thing was, back then, you wanted to avoid it at all costs. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, you were not telling anyone if you could help it what you were. You know, we were kind of masking it a little bit. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, post-punk, you know, kind of like emo-ish, indie rock, whatever. So, you know, and a lot of people didn't know it. You know, didn't know what it was. I mean, even if we were like searching for a new bass player or something on Craigslist mm-hmm. back then, like you had to explain what this was to people, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't like, you know, just people out the door lined up that knew what this stuff was and wanting to play it and all of that. So, you know, but the people that were in the know, it wasn't like necessarily a positive connotation, but the people that were into that kind of music, they knew what it was. They were going right. after it intentionally. Right. And that was fine. So, you know, so again, back then it wasn't necessarily something I wanted to just, you know, preach to the, you know, y'all off the rooftops. So actually, it's actually gotten easier now.
Okay.
Because in some senses, there's some respect, I think, for it. And I think particularly kind of like our kind of heyday era, is looked at as one of the kind of the best kind of phases of it, mm-hmm. you know? Just kind of like the main bands that I think, you know, people look at as kind of tastemakers, and like when people started kind of getting it down and everything. And then, you know, right after kind of us is where the whole kind of makeup, you know, glam
right.
mode type stuff. So, you know, in one sense, if I tell someone, you know, that's kind of, I still don't just go, I don't go to someone like a acquaintance. I don't go to like my son's friend's dad at school and go like, they're like, hey, you want a band or whatever? And I'm like, yeah. And they don't go like, what kind of band? And I just go like, it's an emo band, you know? You know, if I saw them, if they seemed in the know, I might tell them, but I just go more like, you know, indie rock type stuff, like, right. you know, kind right. of alternative stuff. Cause you know, I'm not going to get really into it, but anyways, you know, now when you say what you are, you put that on your, whatever your profile, so people know. And I just see people talking about it all the time, like it ain't no big thing. So I don't know, long-winded answer to say it was almost weirder back then.
Which is,
yeah, that, I feel like a kid sometimes. Yeah, it's kind of like walking around with a skateboard. It's like I love skateboard.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I'm skateboarding on the sidewalk and like, you know, I'm like, hey.
But the differentiation between the AFIs of the world and that sort of thing, I think is something I didn't think about as I was listening, especially to the new stuff. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. One more question regarding the old days. You know, I talked to a lot of like guitar players from the LA scene in the 80s and things like that. And the common denominator is everyone wanted to make it, again, air quotes, or, you know, sign the big record label, you know, do the Sunset Strip thing and be that rock star that we all sort of harbored in the back of our head. Was it the same for you guys in that scene? And do you still think about, is there still something in the back of your head that says, okay, this is the album that's going to break us huge now? We're going to go on tour with Green Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back then, I mean, pretty much since I started playing music and I kind of got into bands and got a taste of, you know, playing in some bands that, you know, we were able to do some pretty substantial stuff and get some, right. you know, good shows going on and the fan base and everything. Like, I was just like, sold, like, I want to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, yeah, I was trying to play music for, you know, trying to be in a band and, you know, do as big of stuff as we can. I never was thinking like, oh, I'm going to be on MTV or something. That wasn't really in the periphery. But I hear people on like podcasts and stuff all the time. No, I never really thought. And they're usually in bigger bands. They're like, no, I never thought I'd do this. I wasn't even trying. I'm like, that sounds like a bunch of bullshit yes. to me. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
But who knows? So, yeah. So I would have liked to be able to do more with it. But you gotta, you know, come down to reality. And the thing for us, and kind of goes back to the area we're in and stuff, there wasn't a lot of players around that were even playing the kind of stuff we were mm-hmm. playing, you know? And like in the Bay Area here, it's like, you're not going to drive 2 hours to go to band practice. Back then, you know, you weren't passing garage band files around and stuff. Right. So, and again, like you're trying to do something that's a little bit more you know, coming up. So it was like, it's kind of like if your band kind of breaks up, it's like, who do you play with now? You got like a certain pool. And it kind of stopped me, honestly. If I were in LA or somewhere like that, then probably I would have gotten something else going a little bit sooner, but it was just a little more challenging. So, but yeah, as far as now, no, you know, I've got plenty of things going on, more than I can really even count. If somehow, I was able to do that, I would, but I do not have any expectations. Mm-hmm. I'm really just grateful for anyone to pay attention to our music at all, to spend a dollar. You know, after all this time, you know, we're getting quite a bit of plays and stuff on this record. So people, you know, kind of more than ever before. So, I think that's good, and, people are appreciating it. It's getting to some new people. I'm getting some nice, you know, messages from people that just found out about us and stuff like that. So that's all I'm looking for. But, you know, we got some really cool new stuff I'm working on, and you never know. I mean, it could get some kind of traction, right. But it's not, I doubt it's going to go huge or anything. Well, I know it's not going to go huge or anything, but the more the merrier. How about that? The more the merrier.
You did stuff. You got on soundtracks and you were on video games and you did all of that. Was that just dumb luck? Was that you guys working those angles? And I guess really the question is, why couldn't that happen now?
Yeah, I think it can. I mean, I think there's all kinds of different bands at different age ranges. And I think, I mean, well, I guess I could prove myself wrong a little bit, because there's some stuff going on with real younger audiences that I've noticed. And I'm like, wow, like I don't get this at all. I do not get this all, but most things I get, right? So, I guess what was I saying? So we certainly could get on some other stuff as far as like soundtracks, whatever it is. I found out recently that we were on like 411 skate videos back in the day. I don't know if you were into skateboarding at all, but it was like all I did. But then I started playing music and I kind of got out of it. So I didn't even know about it, but people are bringing it up to me, you know, just yesterday someone was telling me about it, and then I kind of some other ones. So it can happen, but you have to be, you know, there's something to be said when something's fresh and it's a new band and an interesting band, you know, and that's more of the time when you want to kind of put it on something cool like that. The reason we got it, part of it was, and this is kind of a plus and a minus, but we were on Sessions Records, which was a part of Sessions Clothing, which did a lot of snowboard clothing and skateboarding clothing. So it was a benefit in the sense that they had some connections with these different places like, you know, Microsoft. They're putting together a snowboarding video or video game. Mm-hmm. They want bands that are connected to that. And we were, in a sense, because we were on a label connected to that, which was great. And so we got some of those things. And that goes for, I think we're on Trans World Surf. And, you know, we had some backing behind us to do some cool things. So that was good. But at the same time, it did hurt us a little bit, because we weren't really like, if you were on like a band with a, you know, like a, or a label that was like, quote unquote, like an emo label, you're instantly in the kind of crowd with the right bands. And there's hopefully some other bands on there that are like bigger bands like that. And, you know, most of the bands that we were kind of on the label with were, you know, not much different size than we were. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of a little more of a variety. But, you know, if you were on Jade Tree, you kind of know what kind of bands in general were on there. And there were some big ones. And if you got on there, like people were taking notice and, you know, stuff like that. Or Crank Records was a big kind of like emo one early on there. And, you know, of course, Vagrant and stuff like that. So, you know, if you were tough on that, that would have been way more valuable than, you know, being related to some snowboards on a video game or on a skateboard thing. So, so it's kind of a plus and minus, but, you know, it's really been great. A lot of people did find out about us. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a testament, dude, like these video games, it's like, it's kind of like MTV or something. Once you hear it enough and it's running your head, I mean, when you're playing a video game for like months or years, you're like, geez, I like this. So a lot of people just like, they had to hear it enough, and that's the whole thing with music. It's got to be the right time, and you got to hear it enough in enough space, and luckily that was cool. So
let's talk about the new album. Came out at the end of last year. It's called E Strangers.
Strangers, kind of like Estranged.
Okay. Strangers. Oh, Estrangers. Yeah. Got it. It's not a commentary on modern computer communications. It's Estrangers. Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not like email. No. Right.
Got it.
But our guitar player was like, well, people are going to think it's Estrangers. And I'm like, really? It kind of happens. But yeah. So yeah, that's the one.
All right. Estrangers. When I first listened to it, the first band that came into my head was Cave In. I don't know if you're familiar with Cave In from the Boston area. It has that sort of heavy rock vibe, but way more interesting, right? That's always how I always describe Cave In too. And it's what you guys do. There's way less distortion on the guitars than you might expect from someone who's an indie band or a punk band. And there's a lot more intricacy, I think, happening. So if people are into indie rock, right, if we throw out the emo tag, they're into indie rock or they're into post-punk, as you mentioned, I think they're going to dig a lot of what you do. When you come in with a song and you're crafting something, are you looking for, okay, this is going to kind of sound like this band, or this is going to kind of sound like this thing that we did a long time ago, or is everything starting new for you?
Yeah, it's not very often where I go in with an intention to write a certain kind of song, mm-hmm. Like that sounds like another band at this point, particularly because I feel like we really do have our own thing going on. And it's like, you know, and people will tell me that more and more at this point, we have enough material and like kind of process where it's just like, it sounds like us, I think. Mm-hmm. I you know, but you're always going to hear some influences and stuff. There have been a couple times where I really, and I heard other bands kind of doing this. I forget what it was, but it was like No Doubt. I saw some video and they were having a listening session or a writing session.
Okay.
Something like that. And it was like, I forget what it was, what the song was, but it was something like, it was probably like, what's that Cyndi Lauper song? Why am I
Time After Time?
It might have been that, or maybe, yeah, I think it was Time After Time. It was either that or like Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
You know, it was something like that where they like really were sitting down to listen to it and figure out what they like about this song and da 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 da. So, you know, that wasn't normally the way I do it, but there's a couple times when I'm like listening to some, and I think this, and I think something about it. I'm like, oh, I should do something like that, but I don't. But there was a couple times where I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that drum beat and I'm going to write a song around that drum beat at that tempo, because there's something about that that kind of does it for me. So I had a couple things kind of similar to that. I heard a piano part on a song that was kind of, you know, similar to this song on called False Bluff on this album, where it was just kind of the straight kind of chord thing, kind of droning. So those are a couple of examples of where I might have used that as a tool to kind of like get off on a starting point. But generally, it's literally like me pick up my guitar, where do my hands fall? What am I feeling like? I'm not really thinking about it in that way at all, except for I do think about it in context to other songs I already have written for an album. So I'm not going to write, you know, just because I might, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to, I don't think about, I want to have distinction between songs on an album. I don't want a bunch that are really the same. And I think, you know, and I've been told, but we've accomplished that on this thing. I think, you know, it's pretty varied, at least to us, you know, to an outside listener that's not familiar, maybe it all sounds the same, but I don't know. I feel like we break it up to have some differentiation.
And it sounds mature. And I think that word is interesting. Some recent guests I've had on, we've talked about the idea of mature. When someone describes your band as mature sounding, does that have a positive or negative connotation, right?
I think that sounds positive to me. You know, the funny thing is actually when we first started playing this kind of music way back, that was kind of how I described it actually to people, like, hey, it's more of a mature type sounding music, because we were doing things like clean, picked out guitars, right, calculated dynamics and stuff. So compared to playing, you know, in a little bit more, kind of faster punk rock stuff. It's a little more rowdy and a little bit more messy and stuff. For me, that's even how I describe kind of what we were trying to do then. So that has no negative connotation at all to me, I guess, except for, is that saying I'm old?
Right. Exactly. But, right. Yes.
I'd like to think that you mature with what you're doing, like mm-hmm. songwriting wise. And, I feel like I'm in a better place with it. And I, even since writing that, which was took too long to write and record and everything, like I feel like I'm definitely hitting a stride with some brand new stuff that we're working on. I'm pretty excited. So I feel like we're coming to a new place. Definitely totally new place.
You did a video for track number 2 on the record. The song is called Intents and Purposes. And first of all, the video, it has to be Northern California, right? Because the scenery is spectacular. But I looked at some of the comments and someone wrote, wow, I expected some heavy metal from the thumbnail, but this is equally as good. So, yeah. So
I saw that comment actually. And I'm like, it looks like heavy metal.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of metal you're looking to, but like, you know, like partially balding dudes with like, you know, friggin', you know, I'm not sure what was metal about it.
Yeah.
And that's actually at my house my backyard, cool. Basically. So, and a lot of kind of lyrically on this album is inspired by what's around me. So, particularly that song. So that's kind of part of the reason why I wanted to do a video of that one, and a video of that one first, is that I just kind of had a little bit of a vision for the video. And I think it's a good place to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah. And I'm in Santa Cruz here. So
does a high quality video matter in 2023, 2024? Again, anybody can get out their iPhone and make a video, and it can be good, or more often than not, it can be spectacularly crappy. But yours is well made. It's an actual well produced video. Does that make a difference for bands nowadays?
I mean, maybe you're asking the wrong guy, but like, you know, it seems like to me, the better the stuff you have, whether it's the video or the artwork or, you know, any kind of presentation, posts on social, like to me, like it should look as possible, but I'm also a designer.
Okay.
That, you know, branding, graphic design, websites, you know, tries to make everyone look as good as possible, even better than they are. So to me, it's important. And I think, you know, to not look like a bunch of dorks, you know, as much as you can. I mean, we're still looking like dorks, but you know what I mean? To do something that's a little bit more creative and you know, kind of elevates things a little bit. I think, how can it hurt? But also, you know, to do that cost a few bucks.
Right.
And, you know, are you going to get enough views? You're like, okay. If I get a dollar a view, I'll be stoked. You know what I mean? Or if I pay a dollar per view, like that's right. A weird thing to think about it. But the way I'm looking at it, and I look at a lot of things, it's like, you're going to put this out there for eternity, more or less, until AI kills us all, of course. But like, we're going to, you know, this is going to be out there. So why not do your best? Why not only put good stuff that you're proud of out mm-hmm. into the world? What's the point of throwing out garbage? But is it the financially the smartest thing? Probably not, but I'm not also the smartest person. I just want to have fun, you know, do something cool. So, yeah, it probably the other ones, if we do some other ones, we're probably going to go a little bit more simple because you need to. But I don't know. Like I said, if you're going to do something, why not try to make it cool at least?
I want to talk about the sequencing of the album and how you accomplish that, mostly because whenever I listen to a full record, I always feel like, well, I really like track number 7. In your case, track number 7 is Deep Blue. I think that's a really good song. I think my favorite song on the record is Under the Weather, especially the repeated line, don't say that you're happy now. Just the way that that's sort of kind of going on there for a bit is really effective. So the songs that I really like are further back in the record. So what the hell, John? Why aren't the songs that I like further up?
Yeah. Well, I think Under the Weather is third.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That is third, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so what was interesting about this, and this is partially, you know, it took so long to do this, then there was COVID and stuff. So what happened is we decided, I was like, geez, I can just tell we're not going to get this done anytime soon. You know, we can't go back into the studio. We're not getting back together. We only have about half of this album done. So what we did is we kind of put it out temporarily, half of it. So it had five songs on there. It had Trust No One, Under the Weather, Milligrams, Not Just Ink, and Wake Up and Smell the Daisy. So we had that on there. We had a certain order on there. Mm-hmm. And so when it came down to, and some people heard that. We just didn't push it too hard or whatever. But, you know, people that were already into us, they probably heard it, right? So, but then basically what we did is we kind of pulled that and, you know, kind of signed on with Negative Progression, mm-hmm. and decided to make a full length instead of kind of this two EP thing that we're doing. So it ended up, we were going to combine them and then we could do like a 12 inch vinyl with it and everything. Just made more sense. So in combining them, then it's like, okay, are we taking those first five and then just slapping the next five on them? Mm-hmm. Or are we kind of tracking or whatever, put it in a different order, reordering the album. So we ended up saying, hey, let's reorder it and let's kind of freshen it up a little bit. And so it's really, I think always as you want, I don't know, I always want to spread out the songs through the record in a way that makes sense. So I think there should be some that you're like, wait, why is my favorite song, you know, right? Because you don't want to just do all the kind of most obviously, you know, maybe most relatable songs or however you want to put it, just like instant, you know, hey, I like that one, right, all smack together. But I really do think about the style of song. Mm-hmm. So something like, you know, I think Trust No One, you know, is a very kind of up-tempo song. And I think Intents and Purposes right after that also kind of keeps momentum going. And so I think there's an energy to them and there's a short and sweetness to them that mm-hmm. makes it a good kind of order to kind of introduce things. I also think those two songs have kind of a little bit of different sides of us where like something like Trust No One is a little bit more abrasive and kind of heavier, maybe a little faster. Something like Intents and Purposes has a little bit more of kind of like, we do a lot of stuff with like kind of picked out clean guitars mm-hmm. and stuff like that, a little bit more, maybe anthemic choruses or something. So it's kind of like a, you know, This Is Us type thing. And I think that that makes sense with doing a video for it too. But then Under the Weather is a little bit more spacey, a little more, you know, going on, maybe a little slower, although it still has some energy going because of the, you know, kind of the drum beat stuff in there. So I think it just has kind of a good arc. And then, you know, I think, what's it called? Polly Jean's after that. And that's kind of the slowest, one of the slowest songs mm-hmm. on the record. So like, okay, you got some energy going now, you know, you're kind of like, okay, this is pretty cool. And then you kind of have some space to, you know, maybe have it to listen a little closer, but yeah, then it just comes down to, hey, what am I going to put to kind of, liven up the second half? And now it's like, you're going to, you know, a lot of people are getting vinyl and stuff, which is coming out soon here. And you got to think of it like, hey, what about when they throw on the side B first, yeah. you know, or once they turn it over, what's first? So yeah, I don't know, man. I just try to go with a good flow, but I mentioned this before, but, Seth at the label, actually, I had an order and he kind of had some differences of opinion on that.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, let's see what happens. So we actually mixed it up. So it's actually a different order, where everything else you've ever heard from us is the exact order that I decided on, and I maybe ran it by the other guys and stuff. But this one actually, we did a little bit different, something different on it. So it would have been a little different order before. Cool. I was going to have false last. We usually have kind of a slower kind of,
right,
more produced kind of more going on song last. Normally, if you listen to our other records, it's almost always like that. But we mixed it up a little bit here.
Wake Up and Smell the Daisies has the explicit tag on Spotify. So I'm gonna now draw some causation and say that this directly resulted in the most number of plays for the record currently.
Does that have the most plays?
It does.
Oh, it is. So that's partially because, so when we put it out before, it retained the plays on Spotify.
Okay. Okay.
Before, so actually, there might be a little bit of offset there, but that one also was kind of a a single, I guess, before we put out kind of the first half of it. So that might be part of it. But yeah, I don't know. Is that what people are into? Are they into just like, you know,
I don't know.
F-bombs. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I'm not much of a fan of profanity in music a lot. I think sometimes it cheapens what you're trying to say if you're just tossing that kind of stuff in there. That being said, everyone's saying all that all the time anyways. And if it relates to something of meaning that makes sense in the kind of the song, then it's kind of like, why not? That's real life. But right. I'm very hesitant about, you know, kind of language like that, cheapening something up. But when it's kind of a pissed song like that, mm-hmm. you know, what other better way is there to say when right. someone's fucking you over than to say someone's fucking you over? Right. Like, what are you gonna say? They're screwing me over. You know, like that would even be dumber. You know?
One last thing here before I let you go, John, and that is touring plans. Does it make sense for a band of your mature stature at this point? How does it fit in with everyday life going on tour and doing those things?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to go out there. You know, I miss doing that and I enjoy it, but not everyone does, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get older and you know, you probably spent a couple grand on your bed. You're on your mattress, at least. So, you know, when you go on vacation, you're probably going to a place that has, you know, the sheets are a little on the crispy side. You know, you're not going to the Motel 6, and you're certainly not sleeping on the floor that God knows what happened on.
Right.
So, you know, I can rough it pretty hard, and we roughed it gnarly. Like, I could go into stories forever about all the things we did, just like most of these fans could.
Right.
But yeah, you know, three of us have little kids, you know, my kids are a little older, 9 and 13, but these guys have kids, you know, a couple of years younger. I don't know, like kids that are like 6 and stuff. So that's not that realistic. Then there's like one of them takes care of their kids on a daily basis. The other one, you know, works and, you know, is kind of demanding that way. And then it's just a matter of different things are appealing to different people and, you know, for different reasons. So I'm personally all about doing it all, but it would have to be something pretty damn cool for us to,
right.
for me to convince those guys to go out there and, you know, hit it hard. So in other words, we'd have to be playing with another band with like, you know, predictable shows and everything. We don't need any money or anything, but we'd have to make it worthwhile going out there. Otherwise, all it's going to do is add some discouragement. And then next thing you know, I'm like, wait, you guys don't want to play anymore? You know, and who wants that, right? So it's more picking your mind. We are going to do some shows. I think we are going to, you know, try to get out a little bit, but it would have to be something where we got hooked up somehow. And I don't know who really wants to hook up a band that's not doing a ton of stuff, but you know, we paid our dues. And you know, we do run into younger bands sometimes that were, you know, a fan of us and would be stoked to do something with us and have set us up with shows before. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe one of those guys is out there. If you're listening to this,
right on. Yeah.
Do it.
But there are things like Four Chord Music Fest here in Western PA. And there are things like Punk Rock Bowling, you know, there are places that have bands from the last 20 years that ostensibly you guys could do, right?
Yeah, no. I think we are going to look at trying to do some of that stuff. We haven't really tried that hard yet because we're trying to get the record out and trying to get the vinyl out and everything and just kind of get settled in. But I think it does make sense to try a little bit harder. Like, we don't have a booking agent or anything. So it's just more about like, who's doing it? Me? Because I got a few things going on, right? But you know, I think there's some possibilities there for sure. So we'll look into it. Maybe we will get some. I mean, that would be easier. Honestly, that'd be easier to hop on a plane, show up with your guitars, borrow someone's stuff than it is to, you know, rent a van. You know, go down and stay at your aunt's friend's house or wherever it is. You know.
Cool. Thanks. I want to thank everyone who's listening and supporting the podcast. It is appreciated. I will drop all the links for Time Spent Driving into the podcast description as always. If you dig post-punk, indie rock, stuff that's played well, sung well, and recorded well, you will dig it. Thanks to John Cadavera for coming on the show. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I really appreciate it.